seated. A story about God's people. It comes to us from the 16th chapter of the first book of Samuel. God addressed Samuel, saying, "How long are you going to mope over Saul? You know that I have withdrawn my support from him as king over Israel. Stand up. Fill your flask with anointing oil. I am sending you to Jesse in Bethlehem. I see the king that I want among his sons." Samuel said, "I can't do that. Saul will hear about it and kill me." So God said to Samuel, "Take a heifer with you and announce, 'I have come to help you worship God, and this heifer is the sacrifice. Make sure that Jesse and his sons have been invited.'" So Samuel did as God commanded. And when he arrived at Bethlehem, the leaders of the town came to him, but anxiously. They said, "Is something wrong?" Samuel said, "No, nothing's wrong. I have come to lead you in worship of God, and this heifer is the sacrifice. Go now and consecrate yourselves and prepare to worship with me." Samuel made sure that Jesse and his sons were also consecrated and prepared for worship. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and said, "Here he is, God's anointed." But God said to Samuel, "Don't be so concerned with looks. Looks and stature don't matter much. See, I see differently than men and women do. People look at the face, but I look into the heart." Next, Jesse brought forth Abinadab. But Samuel said, "This one is not God's anointed either." And then Samuel brought forth Shammah. But Samuel said, "This one isn't either." Jesse presented his seven sons to Samuel, and Samuel was blunt with him, saying, "God hasn't chosen any of these." And then he said, "Is this it? Aren't there any more sons?" Jesse said, "Well, there's the runt, but he's out tending the sheep." Samuel ordered Jesse, "Go call him. We are not moving from this spot until he's here." So Jesse called for him, and David was brought in. He was full of vitality, bright-eyed and good-looking. And God said to Samuel, "Get up on your feet and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel anointed him with all of his brothers standing around watching. The Spirit of God entered David like the rush of a wind, vitally empowering him for the rest of his life. This is a story about God's people, and it's for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Not yet, Catherine.
We have some words to say. God looked into David's heart and saw a king. What does God see when looking into our hearts? God sees things we cannot see. Healers, teachers, spiritual friends, leaders, encouragers, prophets, intercessors, devotees, and more.
Furthermore, God sees spiritual gifts and calling in each of us. God continually calls us into a royal priesthood of all believers, sending prophets to anoint us and speak to us of the treasures that lie buried deep within.
You may not believe it. You may even deny it. But God spots spiritual gifts in you. God sees treasure in you that can be brought to the surface for the sake of your own life, the life of the church, and the life of the world.
Just as God sent Samuel to anoint the shepherd boy David while he was unaware, God sends us this morning to anoint you.
We begin with words of praise from David in Psalm 45.
Let us pray. God, our Maker, source of all growth and holiness, accept the joyful thanks and praise we offer in the name of your church.
In the beginning, at your command, the earth produced fruit-bearing trees. From the fruit of the olive tree, you have provided us with oil for holy anointing. David, the shepherd boy, turned king, having been anointed by Samuel in the same way, sang of the life and joy that the oil would bring as it carries your sacramental love and grace to us.
After the avenging flood, the dove returned to the ark with an olive branch, announcing your gift of peace, a sign of a greater gift to come as your prophetic kingdom unfolds in our midst. Now the waters of baptism wash away the sins of all people, and by the anointing with olive oil, you make us radiant with your joy.
At your command, Aaron was washed with water, and your servant Moses, his brother, anointed him priest. This too foreshadowed greater things to come. After your son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, asked John for baptism in the waters of Jordan, you sent your Holy Spirit upon him in the form of a dove. By the witness of your own voice, you declared him to be your only, well-beloved, fulfilling David's prophecy, that Christ would be anointed with the oil of gladness beyond humanity.
And so, gracious God, we ask you to bless this oil of gladness that you have created. Fill it with the power of your Holy Spirit through Christ your Son. With it, we ask you to anoint for yourself priests, leaders, prophets, and martyrs, people of every generation bringing forth gifts of the Spirit for the life of the world.
Bless this olive oil, whose sustained presence in human life bears the outpouring of your grace on all things.
God, give us your grace.
Bless this myrrh to remind us of the wounds Jesus bore for the life of the world. Use it to purify and protect us as we share our woundedness.
God, give us your vulnerability.
Bless this aloe, whose healing power and mystery comes to us from your good creation.
God, give us your healing.
Bless this cassia with its power to hold exhaustion, weakness, and depression at bay as it infuses the oil with the fragrance of prayer and lends to it the power of gladness.
God, give us your strength.
Bless this oil of gladness, that your people may hear your call and discover the spiritual gifts you have planted deep within.
God, give us your gladness.
We anoint this morning with the oil of gladness beyond our power. Come as you are led from within.
Many years had passed from the time that Samuel anointed David. In that intervening time, he slew Goliath, as we all know. But then the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, after the fall of Saul, decided that they wanted David to be their king. And so David ruled those two tribes from the city of Hebron in Judah. It's a little bit south of Bethlehem. But the other 10 tribes, who had been headquartered around Jerusalem, went without a king. Hear now the continued David's story from the second book of Samuel, chapter 5. It wasn't long before all the tribes of Israel came to King David in Hebron. They said to him, "Look at us. We are your own flesh and blood. And we know that when Saul was king, it was really you that was running the country. And that God had said to you, 'You are my chosen anointed, and you will be king of all Israel.'" So David met with all the leaders from Jerusalem in Hebron, and in the sight of God made a treaty with them. And thus the tribes of Israel anointed David as their king. David was 30 when he became king, and he ruled for 40 years. In Hebron, he ruled 7.5 years over Judah. And in Israel, he ruled 33 years over all Israel and Judah. This is a story about God's people, and it's for the people of God. How long does it take? How long does it take to be able to hear God's call clearly? How much time elapses between our anointing and the fulfillment of our ministry? For David, it took a really long time. He was 30 when he was anointed king, when he became king, but he was anointed by Samuel when he was just a boy. We don't know how old he was, 13, 14, 15, something like that. So something like 15 years. The thing about David is that he was glad. He was glad in the not knowing how things were going to unfold. He was glad in the not knowing how long it was going to take for him to become king. He was even glad while Saul was trying to kill him. I think the key words in David's life that come to us from the scripture is that the Holy Spirit entered him like a mighty rushing wind, and God vitally empowered him for the rest of his life. That's what we say at the font, at least that's what we mean when people are baptized. We baptize with water and we anoint with oil in the name of the Holy Spirit, and we call upon the power of God to enter into this life, to rush in like a mighty wind and vitally empower this life all the days it walks the earth. The problem with us is that most of us don't remember our baptism. In fact, we have to come to other people's baptisms and imagine that those are the words that were said over us. And it's even worse than that. Even the day that we witness a baptism and hear those words anew, if we're able to translate them for ourselves, we do something really stupid, which is we go to sleep. Literally, at the end of the day, we go to sleep. And when we wake up, we don't remember what happened yesterday. Oh, you can admit that you don't remember. Luther said it like this: we believe in one baptism for the forgiveness of sin, for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But we have to remind ourselves every day. Every day we have to wake up and we have to take the old Laura. He called it the old Adam, right? We have to drown it in the waters of baptism because the old self is a really great swimmer. We go to sleep and we automatically wake up into our ego and our wants and our agenda and our desires and our plans. We wake up into our fears and our protection. We wake up into our jobs and our salaries and our cooking, cleaning, washing, and all the routine of our day. And we forget all about that mighty rushing wind that entered us at our baptism. If we're lucky, we think about our call. If we're diligent, we remind ourselves every day. Because it might be 15 years from the time of that anointing until we see our call come to life in the world. I actually think it's longer than that. I think our anointing and our reminding ourselves and our seeing our call come to life in the world never stops. No matter how old you are or how many times you've been anointed, it is never too soon to be reminded that the Holy Spirit enters you like a mighty rushing wind every time you take a breath. But we forget that too. We forget that there's two creation stories. In the first one, God says to God's self in the plural, "Let us create humankind in our own image, in the image and likeness of God." God in relationship creates people in relationship with a word. We're spoken into being and given power with our words to create worlds and mission and relief for people the same way that God did, by speaking it and then following it up with our lives. It's kind of like taking your favorite hat and throwing it over a high wall, and you love that hat so much, there's nothing you can do but climb over the wall and scramble after it, even though you don't know what's on the other side. Give your word to what inspires and enlightens you, and then follow with your feet. That's what God did when God created us. But there's a second creation story. God, after creating the earth, took the dirt and formed it into the shape of a human being. Genesis 2 tells us it was something like a mud pie. There was no life in it. It looked like a person, but it wasn't alive. Not until God bent down over the nostrils of the mud and breathed a mighty rushing wind into the nostrils of the dirt being. By the way, that's what the name Adam means, dirt creature. God bent over and breathed into that dirt creature, and it sprung to life with the mighty rushing wind of God's own breath in it all the days of its life, all the moments of its life. If I shut up for just a minute and give us some silence, can you feel God bending over you, giving you a breath, and taking it back and giving you another? God, in every moment, is following up that anointing over your life with a call to do, to be, to say. To do, to be, to say what? To create community, peace, life, vitality, friendship. These, by the way, are the only things that are ever going to bring world peace. Understanding and connection with one another. And the great news is there's no one else like you. You're anointed and given breath and called into the world the way that God calls you. The way that God calls you. You, by the way, don't have a job in the world. It's fine if you don't do any of this. But if you did have a job, it would be to be the best you can be for the life of the world. We too often rely upon prime ministers and senators and mayors and people who get elected to our community organizations, and thank God it wasn't me, to do the work of community building and leadership amongst us. It's a cop-out. God's calling you to be fully, authentically you. But you don't know who you are. None of us do. We're all on a journey of discovering that, of believing the anointing and the breathing of God and the call from an invisible, faraway voice that we can't quite distinguish. It causes us to toss our hat over the wall and to instill in us some kind of bravery to go after it. What's on the other side of the wall is your true self. Fully alive, inventing, creating, following the rush of the mighty wind that God puts in you. Imagine this place with all of us honoring the rush of a mighty wind, calling us to be the we don't know yet. That's the space David lived in, and it caused him to dance. It caused him to dance in the not knowing. Today marks the new beginning. Well, every day does, but, you know, we're making this up. We're saying stuff and throwing our hat over the wall and chasing after it. It's a new beginning. Today marks the day of a sermon series called Dance Like David Danced. It's the kickoff of a summer camp that's for everyone. Like, there's a volunteer sheet out there you could sign up volunteer to help, but you could actually just come to the camp. I'd wish I'd known about summer camps before I was in seminary, because I would have liked to come when I was 5, 6, 7, but I'll tell you what, I sure enjoyed it at 30. It's the beginning of a summer of learning how to find joy in the not knowing who we are and in the not knowing what God is up to, but trusting that it is so good. God anoints you, washes you clean, gives you a chance to remind you that you have an identity beyond what you know. And God calls you to throw your hat over a wall, scramble after it, in the hope that you'll find your true self, alive, free, and vitally empowered by the God of life for the rest of your days. World peace and community and understanding are possible. But it begins here, like this, with an anointing and a call. Grace and peace are yours. In the great mystery that we share, and in the praise of the God who calls us. Amen.
To you, O people, wisdom calls. To you, O people, wisdom calls. Wisdom called throughout the ages, calling to prophets, priests, and kings, martyrs, witnesses, teachers, and intercessors. To you, O people, wisdom calls. To you, O people, wisdom calls.